So now that you have identified someone or an experience or an event in your own life who has caused suffering for you, what I'd like to do is invite you to share with me the process on the very personal level that we just went through for those in the Middle East, the blessing for the person that you have in mind. And I'll invite you to do this precisely the way that we began just a moment ago. Put your notebooks down, pencils down. Find a place where you're able to relax. Take a deep, deep breath. Once again, when you breathe in, if you push your tummy out and your diaphragm drops, that means your lungs are completely full. You've filled the lower third of your lungs. And when you pull your tummy in, and that causes the diaphragm to rise. And that's what moves the air back over the path where it came. And this is the deep yogic breathing that relaxes our body and signals that we're about to experience a process. So bearing in mind the three steps of the gift of the blessing, choose one name, be very specific, from your list that you made in your mind. Choose one name of someone now that you can bring into the focus of your mental imagery, someone who's caused you to hurt or inflicted suffering. And out loud, say the words, I bless myself in the suffering. I bless myself so that I may know myself in this suffering. I bless myself in this experience. I bless myself through all of the hurt and all of the ways of knowing that this experience is caused. Bless myself. And now from your mind's eye, an individual who inflicted the suffering, bless that person or bless that event, bless that situation. I bless those who've inflicted the suffering upon me. I bless those who hurt me. I bless those who have taken from me the things that I love and hold dear. I bless those who've taken that which I cherish. And this is the hard part, because in our traditions, it's hard. It is hard to bless those who have hurt us in the past. And this is where we find our greatest strength. So I'll invite you to follow through with this process. I bless those who inflict the suffering and who have hurt me. And feel the warmth in your body as you say those words, as you think those thoughts and feel those feelings. Feel it well up from deep in your stomach and around your heart. Feel it well into your neck and your face and your eyes, through your arms and your legs. And don't be surprised if that warmth turns into tears, because those tears, once again, are the release of the pain that you hold in your body, and that's where the healing begins, and that's where you find your greatest power. I bless those who inflict the suffering. I bless myself in the witnessing and the watching of myself go through my changes and go through my pain. And this is an important step, because so often we're conditioned to bless and think about others and always put ourselves last, and sometimes we're so last we don't even get considered. I bless myself in the witnessing. And you do this again and again and again, until you feel that experience in your body and you feel your feelings begin to shift. And when you feel you're complete with this phase of the blessing, and if you wake up tomorrow morning and the person or the experience or the situation who's hurt you is fresh on your mind, then you're ready for the gift of the blessing once again. And you do the same thing again. And each time when you finish, it'll feel a little different. And it's this difference that gives you your power over the experience that you cannot change. However, you can change what it means to you and the way you feel about it. The key in the gift of the blessing is to be specific. Be specific with names, dates, places, people, because this is what brings those memories so powerfully into mind, and this is what conjures the emotions so powerfully into our hearts. Be specific. So once again, take a deep breath, and if your eyes have been closed, open your eyes. What have we just done? The gift of the blessing. Well, I'm going to summarize by saying first that the blessing does not condone any event, any atrocity that we see on the news, that we see in the papers, that we see with our friends or family. It doesn't make excuses for any act that has caused suffering. It simply acknowledges the fact that it has happened. Blessing is an emotional lubricant for the actions that we've experienced and that we've witnessed. And the blessing, to be effective, it must address all who have been involved, those who suffer, those who have inflicted the suffering, and those who witness the suffering. In our media, in our news, we've seen so many images of so many people suffering from around the world. There was a time during the Balkan crisis when we saw so many of the women who were refugees, and you look into their eyes and they looked so sad and they looked so helpless. Let me ask a question. Was it easy for your heart to go out to those women when you saw images like that? Or maybe the Afghan refugees, perhaps more recently. Is it easy for your heart to open when you see the images of people who appear helpless and defenseless? And most people feel that perhaps it is. And at the same time, we were shown images of men, angry men from cultures that we don't always understand. And they were in the streets and they were holding signs and they were holding banners. And in their anger, when you witness them, is it easy for your heart to go to them as well? Is it easy for you to open to the possibility of blessing them just as you would the women and the children that look so helpless? And I ask this question because it's a question that comes to me frequently in our live audiences. For the blessing to be effective, we've got to move beyond the polarity of the judgment. We've got to move beyond the bounds of what has locked us in to the anger and the hate of our past and made us polarize into the world that we see today. The gift of the blessing is a powerful, powerful tool to put into your spiritual tool belt with all the other tools that you know and all the other modes of prayer and all the affirmations and all the visualizations, because the gift of the blessing paves the way. It lays the foundation for you to move into those spiritual tools by allowing you to transcend the limitations of the emotion of what so much of life has shown to us. Scientists tell us today that what we see is the healing in our bodies and the peace in our world, as different as they appear from one another, that they are actually related. They're part of the same force. They're part of the field of intelligence that Western science now acknowledges in our world. They're part of the mind of God. Our beliefs, the thoughts, feelings, and emotions, the judgments that we harbor from within, that we create, either consciously or not, those beliefs are mirrored, they're reflected in the stuff, the quantum essence that our world is made out of. So I'm sharing this with you so that you may bear in mind, I'll invite you to bear in mind, that when you offer prayer, and when you offer the gift of the blessing, although it may be very individual and personal on the one hand, it is also speaking to the force and the mind of God, and that all of our little individual experiences become our collective answer to this time in history. We're looking at the possibility of a new science and a new spirituality. It doesn't have a name as yet. I don't know what they're going to call this. And perhaps it's better without a name. Because when we give something a name, it has a label and it has a box, and then we begin to give it rules. We are speaking about a science and a spirituality that everyone has access to through a power that is with us from the day that we enter into this world. And it's through this ability that we speak personally, individually, and collectively to the mind of God. And we were given tools and instructions by those who have come before us, telling us precisely how we may apply these understandings in our lives. You know, in the early part of the last century, the early 20th century, one of the fathers, considered to be the father of quantum physics, Dr. Max Planck, he made a statement when he received his Nobel Prize for his work in quantum theory in 1917. His statement was profound for his time, and it has relevance today just as it had nearly 100 years ago. And I'd like to share that statement with you. Max Planck says to us, as he was accepting this Nobel Prize, to his esteemed colleagues, he says, "As a man who's devoted his whole life to the most clear-headed science, to the study of matter, I can tell you as a result of my research about the atoms this much." And I can just imagine the whole audience held their breath. And he said, "There is no matter as such." He said, "Matter doesn't work the way we think it works." And he went on to say that what we see as matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force. We must assume, he said, behind this force, the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. And he went on to say that this mind is the matrix of all matter. What a powerful statement to say. The mind that's the matrix of all matter. Well, let me ask you a question. If we now understand that this field exists and permeates all of creation and connects all of the events of all life to all the events of all other life, if that field is truly there, then what mind is the matrix of all matter? What Max Planck has said in his time and what Western scientists are beginning to say now and what the ancients said in the language of their time, we are that matrix. We are part of that field. It is our mind and our hearts and the language of feeling that speaks to the language of that field that is creating the reality that we see in the world around us. The world, they say, is nothing more and nothing less than a mirror of what we have become from within. So while we may try to hammer the world into submission around us, ultimately, if we'd like to see our world change, as the ancients said, we must become that change. We must become the very things that we'd like to experience in our lives. So by applying the wisdom of those who have come before us with the knowledge that our own science has given us today, we marry our ways of knowing into an empowering, life-affirming message. And that message is the message of the way we live our lives within each day. We have the power, individually and collectively, to create the world around us, a world of peace, a world of healing between nations, as well as the healing within our friends and families and loved ones and our own bodies, simply by applying these techniques. The gift of the blessing, the power of prayer, the language of the mind of God is what we're speaking about here. 500 years before the time of Jesus, a man named Buddha walked the earth. Buddha said to us, "If you can live your lives through a code of compassion, gratitude, and love," he said, "you'll change your body. And when you change your body, you'll change your world." 500 years after the time of Buddha, Jesus did walk the earth. I'll ask you, what was his message? It was very similar. He said, "If you can live your lives in compassion, gratitude, and love, as I'm demonstrating for you," he said, "you'll change your body. And when you change your body, you'll change your world." And now, through the wisdom of the ancients and Western science, their messages are just as present, just as current today as they were 2,000, 3,000 years ago. So at the very beginning of this audio, I asked a question: how can we pray peace and healing while we're witness to violence and suffering in the world around us? The gift of the blessing empowers us to transcend the anger, the hate, and the rage that we find within us in response to the world around us. And when we do that, we empower ourselves as individuals to make the choices and act from the place of strength and wisdom rather than hurt and reaction. It's the way that we use our power as individuals that allows us to become better people, to create a better world. Each time you choose to become greater than the hate that you witness in your world, you contribute to our collective answer to the greatest challenges of recorded human history. And this is the power, the gift